welcome to the next edition of Feral and Fabulous. I have, as always, the most fabulous, amazing guests here today. I have Reagan and Tina Nguyen. They are here and they are both in, they're involved in all kinds of businesses. But the one that I want to talk about first is Natural Stone Design. And these guys are the owners and operators of Natural Stone Design. So tell me a little bit about how did you get into the natural stone design business? How did you get into the stone business?
I got in the countertop business probably back in the early 80s.
Oh, basically. I did not know that.
It was laminate and acrylic, okay. Like Corian.
Okay.
Worked for my stepdad and my stepbrother's redheaded stepchild. And got as high as I was going to get, and then I went out on my own.
Okay. Oh, so early on.
Subcontracting all the installation and stuff. So that's how I built my name.
Okay.
Told myself I'd never get into granite or quartz because it's
really?
So heavy.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that. Yeah.
On it. And then met this guy that showed me the ropes, basically, is what he did.
Okay.
And
when
and
are we talking? What kind of time frame? Like 80s, 90s? When are you
2000.
Thinking?
2000.
Oh, 2000. Okay.
2000,
I wasn't sure how long you were.
2000.
Okay.
Around 2006.
Okay.
But,
okay.
And just grew it from there. I mean, it's.
So at what point did you make the leap from the, you know, Formica or, you know, the laminate type countertop to go, you know what, I'm going to go into actual 2006?
Probably 2000, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that when you actually opened up Natural Stone Design?
Yeah. We started in 2006.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
It was RW countertops before that.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
And then,
okay.
Then we changed in 2006.
Okay. So we literally started in the garage.
Really?
Fabrication in the garage.
Really? Yeah. Oh my gosh. I did not know this.
Yeah, it was an adventure.
It was.
And it still is, right?
We've had a few adventures, yeah.
No, I love it. Okay. So once you decided you were going to go into the stone, you know, arena, did you find that, again, one of the things you just said is because you had a concern because of the heaviness of the product, did that involve that you had to get trucks? And I mean, how did that kind of evolve that you decided, hey, I can tackle this particular product because I have the ability to deliver this kind of heavy stone?
We started off doing everything pretty much by hand. Rip saws, you know, by hand, cutting
really?
It by hand, hauling it and everything.
Wow.
On the trucks and stuff like that.
Okay.
Then after we had moved over to where we're at now,
okay.
In shirts, we bought our first bridge saw back then.
It was
scary.
17 years ago.
Yeah.
Really?
On it. So we started cutting with that new bridge saw, which
okay.
made a tremendous
okay.
So
difference. That offered you more flexibility to be able to do more things with the product, right?
That is correct.
And more
that
jobs.
Is, and faster.
Got it.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
We could get it out faster. Then from there, we bought a 5-axis CNC from Italy. We got a Marmo inline machine
okay.
from Italy.
Oh, wow.
A straight edge, all the water system,
okay.
all the Manzelli lifts and stuff. So
okay.
You don't have to pick it up. You can just do it with the Manzelli.
So I want to know, since you've already brought up the topic of the heaviness of the product, how do you actually get, like, from the granite yard, how does it get from the granite yard into somebody's home? What is that process?
It comes from the granite yard in a full slab.
Okay.
Basically.
And do they put it on a truck or?
Yeah, mm-hmm. they
okay.
put it on a truck,
okay.
on A-frames.
Okay. Okay, on A-frame, okay.
Right, and then
okay.
we take it off. It's just a clamp that goes over it.
Okay.
I can remember when I first got into the business, I was like, I'm not going to trust that clamp. But it does. It's just a clamp
okay.
that goes over it and
yeah,
picks it
I'd
up
be
and,
nervous.
Then, and then sets it down.
Okay.
From there, we do our templating.
Okay.
okay?
Yep.
Sell the job, do our templating.
Yep.
Right? We'd laser template everything.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
So Travis, our son,
okay.
does all the templating stuff.
Oh, cool.
On it.
Okay.
From
so
there,
it's all in the family.
Yeah.
So for years, we used to do the actual templating with the plastic
core ply.
And yeah, that was a process.
Oh, I bet it was.
Yeah.
When did you switch off of that?
What year did we get that? Template machine was probably
8 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
About 8 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the new method, I assume, is much better.
Much
yes.
better.
Okay.
More
not
accurate.
Not that I didn't trust that either in the beginning.
Sure.
Sure.
You're
sitting there pointing.
Yeah.
You know.
Because you mess up a slab of granite. Like, what happens when that happens?
You
remake it.
Yeah, no, I can see that. That seems like that would be a very expensive mistake. So, yeah, you want to be very accurate in your measurement and how you go about doing things. Sure. So, no, yeah. I totally get that. Okay, so of all the different materials that you work with, granite, quartz, quartzite, marble, can you talk about what the differences between those different materials are? And, like, what do you see as being the most popular right now?
Most popular, probably quartzite.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most popular.
Now.
Okay.
That and quartz has really come on strong.
Pretty strong. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Okay. There's different forms of quartzite. There's hard quartzite and soft quartzite.
And what's the difference between those two?
Soft quartzite is really considered a marble.
And it's more porous.
Oh, really?
It's more porous.
Okay.
It's harder than like Carrara marble or something like
that. Gotcha. Okay.
But it's considered a marble. It's a dolomite.
But if it has soft.
Right. So if it has a higher, what's the word, porosity?
Yes.
Do you have to take care of it any differently, or do you have to be very careful about spilling something like orange juice on it, or
you
whatever?
You do. Yeah. The maintenance is higher on something like that. You
got
to seal it. You know, when you get a marble, basically you should be sealing it at least twice a year.
That's what I want. One of the questions I wanted to ask is, so anybody that has these products, they really should be sealing them a couple of times a year?
When it's when it's marble, dolomite, types of material, yes.
Okay.
And it's
depends
granite,
on the material.
Yeah. What do you do with granite?
Granite.
Once a year?
I tell everybody once a year.
Okay.
Quartzite, same thing, once a year. Hard quartzite.
Okay.
Well, once a year.
The granite lighter, most
lighter
likely you're going to have to, you're going to have to seal it
I didn't
more
know if
often.
You meant lighter in heaviness
lighter
in color. Okay, got it.
Oh, lighter in color. So
the lighter in color, it's more porous?
Yeah.
Okay.
How many times you sealed your granite?
Well, that's what I was just thinking. I'm not sure. That's Dave's job, so I'm going to have to ask Dave how often he's been sealing our granite because I'm
most
not sure.
Most people don't.
Although I think we have quartz, but anyway.
Most people don't. They don't mess
I know.
With it.
No, but you're right. But they
we're
should.
We're not any different, though.
But here's the thing, and I'll tell you something. I learned the hard way. This is years ago. This is actually BD before I met Dave. I was living in Elm Creek the first time, and there had been orange juice spilled on the granite countertop. And at that time, I think this in my adult life may have been the first time that I had had this particular type of granite in a home. And I didn't realize that you just don't let orange juice spill and you let it sit there for, a little bit. Because it leached.
Or blueberries or sugar.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know. And it literally leached into the product.
Yeah.
Did it
and
etch
literally
it?
Etched it. Yeah.
It kind of, like you could kind of feel the difference in the surface. And again, this is years ago. I mean, I'm talking like, I don't know, 30 something years ago, a long, long time. Right. But I didn't realize the impact it was going to have because it stained it both in terms of the color and it also stained it in terms of it just changed the surface of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never thought about it. To me, it's like, it's just a hard surface. So it's like anything. You just like, wipe it up, whatever. But it didn't dawn on me that you shouldn't let it sit at all. You know, like as soon as you spill it, you need to be wiping it up. And I didn't even know that I should have sealed it,
Yeah. Sealers does not guarantee that it will stain or etch or what have you.
Okay.
It helps. I don't care. People will tell you this is a 15 year. No.
It's not.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not. You got to keep
no
up with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
no
it does help.
Whatsoever.
Yeah. You could seal it. And
It gives you enough time to wipe it up.
Okay.
And
is that something that you guys do? Do you offer to seal it or is it something you just
we
have the client do
seal it
themselves?
At install?
You do. Okay. That's
but
what I wanted to know.
We don't
when you deliver it, you do an initial
we don't have a service for that.
Seal.
We usually
refer
that
it
to
comes
another
from
company.
The factory
got it. Okay.
Sealed. And then we seal it at installation.
On the installation.
Once we get it in.
Okay,
cool.
Okay, very cool. So of all the materials that you work with, what is y'all's personal favorite? Like if you had to pick one, what do you like the most?
Quartzite.
Okay, so you both have different ones that you like.
To work on.
You said quartzite and you said quartz.
Oh, to work on?
Oh, I just said which is your personal preference. Like what
quartzite.
Do you like?
Quartzite.
Okay, so you both like quartzite. And you just like the way...
Hard
quartzite.
Hard
is it because it's more durable and you just like the way
it
looks?
It's non-porous. It looks like glass. It's very... it's more durable than granite.
Got
it's,
it. Okay.
It's great.
And how is it cost-wise?
More expensive. More.
Of
more
course. Expensive. Yeah. Of course it is. Yeah.
Well, that
why
was a silly question.
You mean it's not free? It's the best one of all of them, but it's the cheapest, you know? So
quartzite's the most expensive.
Okay.
But it's beautiful.
It is.
It can range from $2,000 a slab to $25,000, $30,000 a slab.
Really?
Depending on what you get. Right. Yeah.
Really? Oh, my gosh. Have you ever had people that put in?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Are you, like, nervous when you're, like, carrying those slabs? That seems very dangerous. Very, I'd be afraid. Very. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No, it's nerve-wracking.
It's especially when you get in the quartzite, because quartzite has a lot of fissures and stuff in it also. So, yeah, it can crack. Or what have you.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
Taj Mahal is probably one of the number one colors.
I've heard of that color.
Taj Mahal is a beautiful color, but it's not like it used to be.
Does it crack easily?
No. It's got a lot of fissures and stuff.
It does have a lot of fissures, but it's, say, because I'm comparing, like, Amanda's got a beautiful quartzite which
is called Taj Mahal.
Okay.
And it's got a more consistent type a pattern color to it.
Okay.
So it's more condensed together.
And it's very hard.
Taj Mahal is spread out on their...
I gotcha. So there's variations on the Taj Mahal, line of that type of quartzite.
Many.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, many types. Okay. Yeah. We'll see. I've already learned so much. My head is kind of spinning. I'm like, I didn't even know that there were this many different options. Okay. So of all the different types of materials that you work with, what are the different types of, what do you call the edges? Is that how you refer to it? Like, you know, edges. The edges and then also the finishes on the actual surface. So can you talk a little bit about what are the options on the edges and what are the options on the surface finishing?
The edges are unlimited. I mean, you know, you can dream it up. We can probably do it.
Wow. Okay.
You can do
really
eased edge is probably most popular. Because
eased edge?
Where it's just square.
Okay.
It never goes out of style. You can go contemporary. Right. You can go rustic. What have
right,
you?
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
But you can do mitered edges where you have a dropped edge of 2.5 or.
And when
have
you say
water,
dropped edge, what is that? What does that
mean? That means it's a mitered edge, so not, it's on a 45.
Okay.
Okay. So the material comes in at 3 cm, which is 1.25".
Okay.
Say someone wants to accent an island. Okay.
Okay.
They'll make that edge to a 6 cm, 2.5, and we put a miter on it so you can't see any seams or anything.
Oh, okay.
Basically,
to make it
thicker. And a lot of your homes these days, and you've seen them, where they have the waterfall edges that go all the way down.
Yes,
Same concept.
Okay.
I mean, that's 45.
So when you talk about it having a waterfall finish, does it mean unlike on the side of an island, does it go all the way to the floor?
Correct.
Okay, so that's a waterfall.
That's a waterfall.
Okay, gotcha. I didn't know.
I mean, we do 6-inch edges. 2.5, 3, whatever the customer wants.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
And then we can do OG edges, beveled edges.
Okay.
We can do a stacked OG to where it's laminated.
What's a stacked OG?
Where it's laminated. You got an OG going down into another OG.
Makes it look like it's
all one
that's
piece.
That's like a double OG.
That's
an OG to the second power
that
or something
is a double
like
OG.
That.
But stacked edge, that's what that is.
Fly. So of all the different finishes, which do you guys like the best? What's your favorite?
Eased edge.
Eased edge? Okay. Which is clean.
Clean,
straight,
simple.
Clean, straight lines.
Easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Works with everything.
Because it never goes out of style.
True.
Right.
True.
Right.
It's kind of timeless.
Yeah.
So, okay. I totally get that. Okay. So when it comes to the finishes on the granite on the surface, what all options are there now? Because I just know sometimes when I go to places, I'm like, what on earth is this? Everything looks like, sometimes it looks like leather or sometimes, I mean, there's so many different options. What all do you have available in that regard?
So you have your polished.
Okay.
Which
is
everybody
the traditional,
knows, right?
Okay.
Traditional.
Right.
You have your honed. Okay.
Okay.
Honed is more
is
of a matte finish.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
And then leathered.
Then you have your leathered.
Okay.
Okay. Then you have one that's called ice. Okay, where it's leathered and then all the high tops of the leather is polished. So it's like two in one.
So it's like a dual,
dual
surface.
Exactly.
That's what I think I just saw that I thought, what in the heck is this? Because it looked to be
pretty cool looking.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's like dimensional, right? Doesn't it have a little bit of a dimensional look to it? And so is that one more problematic or are any of them more problematic in terms of like making sure they're sealed if the surface is not flat, or like, are there crevices
it's
and stuff?
It's not shiny. It's opened up. So
that's what I thought.
Yeah. So you're going to be more porous.
Yes.
A polished countertop is going to be more durable.
That's what I was thinking.
Honed,
right.
What have you.
Okay. Gotcha.
A level one granite is going to be more durable than a level five granite.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
The pattern is so small and very dense.
You don't have all the...
Okay.
So you don't have all the fissures and everything else that the expensive stuff has.
I thought that level in my head, whenever I went with clients to pick things out and they said, this is a level one, this is a level five, you know. Well, how high do the levels go?
Oh my gosh. It's
like a level what?
The sky's the limit.
Oh, really? Like level 5,000 or?
What? I mean, you can have slabs that cost 20,000. You can have slabs that cost 30, 40, 50,000.
What level would that be?
Most of your very high ones are your precious stones, okay?
Okay.
Man-made precious stones, basically, where they fit everything together,
okay?
Basically. But it is quartz,
is the man-made, natural. Is it any less expensive or just as much?
More expensive.
Really?
Precious stone.
Precious stone.
Okay, that's okay. Gotcha.
Okay, that's where they take pieces and they fit it here, and then they fit it here, then they fit it here.
You see some of that back.
Have you ever been to Keller Williams off 281?
Yeah.
You see that front?
Yeah.
Reception area. Yeah. Well, we did that.
Okay.
Okay, that's a precious stone.
Okay.
That was on that.
Gotcha. So
all backlit.
Okay, so that the levels really have more to do with the type or the density of the granite
or the uniqueness
and also the cost, right?
Yes.
Doesn't it go up as the levels go up?
Sure.
So does the cost?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. So when somebody comes to you guys and say, hey, I want to redo my kitchen and I've got this much of a budget, but I also want to try and do my bathroom countertops also. Is there any benefit? And I've heard about this. People can use remnants.
Absolutely.
And so can you talk a little about the remnant aspect of things and how people can go about getting a better deal or getting a discount on remnants if they want to use in smaller spaces where you don't need to have a whole slab?
That is correct. Remnants is material that's left over from jobs that we've cut, kitchens, what have you.
Yeah.
On it. They can come in and they can buy those remnants anywhere from 10 to 20% less.
Great.
Basically for those little areas.
Yes, right.
What's important to know though is that when people are buying, they're buying the square foot that they use. So we don't charge them for a whole slab and then go resell it.
Understand.
We're charging
them for the amount of a slab that they are going to use.
If they use 45 square feet,
right.
Then
understand.
We have 40 square feet left and we sell that.
Sure. Understand. You're selling it based on how much their use is, but sometimes they're not going
to
use two full slabs.
Correct.
So we don't want them to have to pay one and a half.
Right.
But
correct.
You're going to end up with a half that you got to do something with
for somebody to use.
I mean,
normally
two slabs is about 140 square feet, just say basically.
Sure.
Okay. So if you're doing a job, a kitchen that's 80 square feet, okay.
Yes.
So you're going to use that 80 square feet.
Right.
Plus you're going to have probably a 15% or so drop that you're not going to use.
Yeah.
So they're just charged for that 80%.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay. Well, no, that makes complete sense. What do you think are some misconceptions out there that people have about using and working with natural stone? Do you have people that ever like, wow, I had no idea, or, you know, anything where you feel like they just had a totally different, you know, idea of what reality
they
actually is.
They don't understand the makeup.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
On it. When they see a pit or they see a fissure.
Right.
Something to that nature.
Yes.
Or
they think
say
it's a
they're
flaw
looking at the edge and they see a
to,
fissure coming all the way through it. They think it's a crack that it's, you know, it's not any
but it's
good.
But it's just part of the natural stone.
Part of the stone.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the higher you get, the more you're going to have that.
Got it. Got it.
One of the things we try to tell them is when you're going to grant, say you don't pick something from us and we send them to a granite yard, we have to make sure that when they go, that they know that what they see and feel on the surface is what they get. So we're fabricating the edges. We're not fabricating the whole flat surface.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
It's important to know what you're looking at and what you're feeling.
No. Oh, that's a great point.
Put your hands on it.
If you don't like the way it feels, it's not going to change.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. And people probably don't think to do that.
No, of course not.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know what they don't know.
Right. Exactly. You don't know what you don't know. So when they decide what stone that they want to go look at, do you send them to different yards or how does that work?
We do. Yeah. We have a stock. We have stock granite that we keep at the office.
Okay.
Level one.
Like the most popular ones that typically get used a lot?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Granite. Level one, you got to have.
Of course. Because
people want cheap.
Yeah, understand.
Basically.
Understand.
And then it goes level two, level three, which I think we got some pretty good colors, level two, level three.
Yeah.
Okay.
A variety, even good
some
variety.
Level ones.
You know,
okay.
On it.
Awesome. Awesome. Is Ubatuba, is it still a thing? And it's a level one, right? Yeah. I've had Ubatuba in so many houses, so. Yeah.
I think a lot of
Ubatuba, Santa Cecilia,
yes.
New Venetian Gold.
Oh, yes. All of those. Yeah. You see those quite frequently.
All the standard colors, but I think now the lighter, the better.
Yes.
So if people are looking for something in a level one, they're usually trying to find something a little lighter, but it's harder to find a level one in a lighter color. But we usually do have some pretty good to pick from. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Those gray and whites are still in.
Yeah, I know, right? No, that's so true. Very much so. Well, you guys have been doing this for like 20 years, over 20 years now. What do you think has, let's say in the last, what do you think has changed in the last 10 years from how you used to do it? Other than obviously a change in the machinery that you use and that kind of thing. But what do you think has changed trends-wise? Like what are people looking for now compared to what they did 10 years ago? You know what I mean?
Because a lot of people are looking for porcelain.
Oh.
Porcelain, quartz, quartzite.
Really? Okay.
Not as much granite as...
Okay, so granite is not quite
as
popular.
So where it was 70-30,
yeah.
It's turned.
Yeah.
Quartz is 70, granite's 30.
Really? Okay. Oh my gosh. Which
we still love granite.
I mean, yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, I like the natural product.
Natural.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Looks like, you know, came out of the ground like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
But they have porcelain out, you know, now that you can buy in slabs and fabricate it just like you would a slab of granite.
Really? And so porcelain's getting popular?
It's getting popular, yeah. It's growing.
And how does the cost compare on porcelain to the other ones?
The cost is probably going to be a little higher just because on the edges and stuff, you're doing mitered edges, so the labor, you know.
Is more labor intense.
Intense.
Yeah, anytime you have more labor, it's going to be more expensive. So
porcelain, though, you can get like a real Calcutta marble.
Okay.
Look.
Okay.
And it looks exactly like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you are able to offer them alternatives that are maybe a little
less
expensive?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. So do people come to you and say, this is what I'm looking for, and what do you have that's like that? Is that how it usually works?
A lot of times,
or do they just
come and say,
show me what you got?
Most of the time, they know where they want to be color-wise.
Got it.
Basically, whether it's white, gray, black, what have you.
Okay.
Then, material-wise.
And then we'll show them what we have in stock. We always try to sell out of stock because it's so much easier.
Yeah, right.
On it. Then
right.
If they don't find anything in stock, we'll send them to various vendors that we buy from.
Okay, cool. No, that's all very
cool. We have relationships with all the vendors in San Antonio.
Oh, that's great. So then you have access to all the other people
as
well.
And we can even get from Austin.
Oh, cool.
Anywhere, really.
Have you ever had anybody?
Austin, Dallas.
Yeah.
Have you ever had anybody like import something from Italy or like one of the faraway places?
You're talking about they imported it themselves?
Well, or just they wanted something from Europe or something.
I have a whole building full of Calcutta marble right now.
Really?
Calcutta marble, Calcutta Borghini.
Oh, wow.
Very, very expensive stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you actually do keep some of that already in. Do they ever want something that you don't have that they would have to have shipped from another country? Or is that unusual?
Doesn't happen. Yeah,
okay.
That's unusual.
Okay. I was just curious because I always hear on TV shows,
you
know, it's imported from Italy or wherever, you know what I mean?
I mean, I've had people come in from like California and stuff like that.
Okay.
That bought the material in California and had it shipped.
Okay.
You know,
okay. So you do have people
like that
buy product elsewhere and
Correct.
Then have it shipped in.
Yes. Yes.
And then you still template it and then install
fabricate
it and all that kind of
yes.
stuff.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Wow. This this whole thing sounds like a way more of a whole process than I even envisioned. You know what I mean? So, and that's not even the half of it. But this is only talking about one side of the hat that, or one of the hats that you guys wear. The other hat that you both wear is you work in real estate. And Tina has been on the HAL group for many years now. And you guys, in fact, Dave and I were just talking about the other day. This is years ago. And you'll probably remember how many years ago. I don't remember. But I remember you guys, we were out showing clients. Dave was driving for me. Mm-hmm. And we ran into you guys showing the same house.
Yes.
And so, do you remember that?
Yeah, it was off I-10, I believe.
Yes, it was off of I-10. I don't remember the subdivision, but we were definitely off of I-10. It may have been, I don't know, but it was over there kind of not too far from, say,
between Bernie and
San Antonio, somewhere in that, not Bernie Stage Road necessarily, maybe a little closer in, but you're right. And I remember at the time thinking, how funny that we were both, you know, Dave was driving for me. I think you were driving for Tina. Yeah. Or what? How do you do that? When you guys both go out to work together in real estate, how do the hats shift? Like, who does what in that aspect of things?
She does all the real estate. I don't mess with it. I don't like her going to places, open houses and stuff like that. So if I have to go and sit in my car or what have you, I'll do that. On it.
But when, or but you when, drive for or her, right?
Keeps, or he just, yeah. Yeah, he just keeps yeah. me company.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's nice to have somebody if you're going to be showing all day that you've got somebody to go with you.
No, absolutely. But that's what, and Dave does that for me as well. I mean, it's so nice to me when you have a bunch of properties that you're showing to have somebody else that's navigating because you're over there trying to figure out what's your next property, you know, and that kind of thing.
Plus, if you're showing like ranches, and we've done some ranches.
And you've done a bunch of ranches.
I've done some ranches.
Yeah.
It's nice to have somebody with a pickup.
Absolutely. And probably a hoe and probably a shotgun and everything else, because those ranches, I mean, let's face it. I just talked to somebody the other day. I don't know if you've shown any ranches lately, but the snakes are out so bad this year.
Oh, really?
Like the worst the snakes have been in a long, long time. That's my understanding.
Really?
It's all the water.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's right. We've had so much rain because of the, is it El Nino or La Nina or whatever.
Whatever it is.
Whatever that weather pattern is.
You got more water. You got more food for them, like rabbits or what have you.
Everything is in abundance. So, you're absolutely right. I didn't think about that. So when it comes to like showing ranches, you know, showing those more rural type properties, is there anything that you do, Tina, to like prepare for that? How is that different? Because I do think it's very different than
it
a regular residential
I mean,
real estate.
Really just researching the property, where the water comes from, a lot of times is going to be different. What aquifer, what type of fencing do they have?
Right. You get into the mineral rights and all of that kind of stuff.
You get into the mineral rights, of course. Finding out, you know, if there's going to be other family members involved. Title searches can be a little different.
And also ag exemptions, right?
Yes,
and also
ag exemptions. And then just explaining to people that that's not going to be transferred. They're going to have to reapply for that.
Exactly.
So, you know, depending on what they're going to do. And
no,
so
for sure.
They do have options for that as well. But it's just educating people on what the differences are between farm and ranch and residential.
Right.
There's quite a bit of difference.
No, there is quite a bit of difference.
It's
and I think a lot
animal.
Of people don't really, it is a different animal. And I feel like a lot of people don't really recognize the fact that just because you can sell a regular home is not the same thing as selling a ranch.
Yeah. Right.
Or a larger acreage, you know, type property. Because there's more things to take into consideration. Definitely more legal forms that we have to fill out. And you have to have an understanding of it. In fact, we just had that new one, and I don't remember the name of it. Okay, Lupus Thunder. It's something to do with groundwater.
It's the water disclosure, but
water
I don't know
disclosure,
the full.
Yeah, but name. New name of it. But it's anyway. It's very complex, and so I think it's definitely throwing a wrench into a lot of our current,
like the Edwards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, the aquifers, but not only that, but like the muds, the pids, the puds,
all of it.
All of that is going to be a
all
very. I mean, that's very different. Even in residential, I mean, it's gonna pop up and. You have to know what's going on with that. You don't run into that as much with the farm and ranch, but you do have to know about the wells.
Yes.
And not only do you have to know about the wells, but you have to know about is even something that they can drill a well for.
Yeah, exactly, so, exactly.
What and are the costs involved in?
And how many feet down is it?
And how many feet, right? And how many acres do they have to have all per well?
So right.
There's a lot involved with all of that. Exactly. So it's quite different.
That's why I drive her around.
Exactly. No. It's very complicated.
Septic systems, that can be very different.
Yeah.
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 So there are a lot of rules around all of that.
No, absolutely. And again, together between both of you, you are both working again in the on the natural stone side, the real estate side. And again, so you're spending most of your days together. So how is it like, what is it like working together as a husband and wife? Because I know Dave and I talk about this all the time.
I don't have a problem with it. I think we get along really well. I mean, she sits right. We sit right in the same desk.
I love it.
We get along very well.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. No.
I think sometimes I have to say, shh, you know, when you're on the phone or something, sitting her to me, you know.
Or I get up and leave the room so I can talk. Because he definitely takes priority when he's on the phone.
That sounds like Dave and me. Sometimes I'll be saying something and he just can't stand to listen to what I'm saying. Not that I'm saying it loud or not that I'm saying anything wrong. It's just what I'm saying is making him so mad. Like I'm tolerating a client he doesn't think I should be tolerating, or I'm babying somebody he doesn't think I should be babying. He's like, I'm tapping out. I'm walking out of the room. And if he's driving, he can't get away from me. He's sort of like holding his, but I'm like, no, hold the steering wheel. Not covering your ears, because he has a hard time sometimes when he just feels like, no, don't say that. Say this instead, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'll just handle it.
No, that was
like
me. He's on the phone and I'm like,
why'd you
say that? Tell him this.
Say this instead. No. Coaching and consulting, right?
And he's like, I can't hear you. Yeah.
Get out.
Oh my gosh. If you guys would like to grab your paddles and get them ready.
Okay,
I've got several topics for you, and you have no idea what they are, but the first one is hawks. And there's a whole story behind this. I love it. Oh, my gosh. I love it. And I love that Tina said fabulous.
I should have known that was going to be brought up. Why didn't I think of that?
You should have known when it wasn't in the regular part of the podcast that I was not going to let you get away with it. It was coming up. It was definitely coming up. And I thought, well, if you brought it up, we'd go with it. But since it didn't come up, I'm like, nope, it's on the top. It's on the top six. No, so definitely.
Now I got to go through another 6 months of listening to Dave.
Yes, you do.
And
so tell us, Reagan, why you think that hawks are feral. Because Tina thinks they're fabulous. And so I'm just curious how that all worked out. So
I think they're feral because they cut my head.
Yes, I know. And so what happened with a hawk and your head? Is it because you're redheaded? Do they have a thing for redheads?
They have a nest up in our oak tree, basically.
But they only pick on you.
No, they picked on the whole neighborhood.
Oh, they did?
Oh,
I thought you were the only one that actually they chewed a hole in your head.
Wow. That maybe. I mean, I was bleeding.
I saw the photos.
He did get attacked three times.
But Tina, you weren't attacked.
I was actually the first one that they came after.
Oh.
But I just heard I heard
them. You heard them swoop at you.
I heard them swish by and I was like, that has to be a hawk.
Oh my gosh. Wasn't that scary? To hear that noise?
Yes. I remember when I got hit, I walked in the house and I said, Tina, something just knocked the out of me. I said, do you think the new neighbors threw something at me?
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know what it was.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that part of it.
Yeah. I mean,
you didn't even know right away that it was a hawk.
He said somebody threw something, hit me in the back of the head. And I was like, that can't be. It's got to be a limb from the tree. So we went outside and looked.
Limbs.
I said, no, that limb was there.
The only limb was Reagan's arm hanging by a thread after the hawk chewed it off.
And then we looked at his head and I was like, wow,
it was like a hole, and you were bleeding. It was bad.
A couple places.
The talons are, they're.
And I guess, did you have to get rabies shots or anything like that?
No.
Okay, all right.
Okay, next.
You have a little PTSD? not wanting to, you need another shot of tequila?
And the next time they even got him when he was up against the house doing the, like, flower bed, they came and got him. Oh, no, that was when they came.
They do have a thing for him.
They one of them came Swooped after in. Him.
Everybody
and
has
missed
a
him.
Thing for me.
Apparently, and missed, exhibit A right here.
And missed him. And then he said, "Nanny, nanny, boo, boo, you missed me." And then here comes the other one. Whack.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that part of the story. That's hysterical. You were taunting them, and look what happened.
So we got to where when we would walk outside, you're like this the whole time.
The whole neighborhood
you're just,
was
you're just waving your hand.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They're so aggressive.
They're very aggressive.
No, I remember.
And you can't kill them.
No, no you can't.
That's a $1,500 fine.
Oh, well.
Oh, no, yeah. It's okay. More than that.
I did
it's,
not.
They're protective.
I did yeah. not know that.
Yeah, they're protected. You can't.
Oh, because my gosh. What do you do when they're trying to attack you?
Run.
Move.
Fall down. Dodge.
Get out of their way.
Just keep moving your hands.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Crazy.
Now, this
Pretty
year,
crazy.
We don't have them. So.
No, we don't.
They're in
goodness.
Somebody
they're
else's
They're in the neighborhood,
tree.
But I'm, they're not in ours.
Okay, yeah. Thank goodness. Oh, my gosh. Okay, yeah. Next one. Ice bar.
Oh.
Do you remember ice bar?
What
do you think?
What is this all about me?
I know. Last time I checked. You're the guest on the podcast, so
I'm going to say fabulous. Okay. I had a great time.
Awesome,
it was
awesome.
Fun.
Awesome, we.
I was glad I could make people laugh.
No,
what was your favorite part?
I know what our favorite part was of the ice bar.
Do you have a picture of it?
We do. I do. It will live on in infamy on my phone because, and of course, I haven't posted it on any social media sites
Thank
yet.
Thank you.
But yes, no. Yet, although I probably get flagged, they probably
they
shut
would
my
flag
they
you.
Shut my account down. But we went to we took the team to Las Vegas. We hit our goal that year, and we all went to Las Vegas
Had
for
a. Blast.
A Yeah, for a blast of a trip. And during that trip, we decided we had not been to an ice bar. So we were like, hey, this is a cool concept. Let's go check it out. So we go and we get there. And of course, we all put on parkas and, you know, everything is served in ice. I mean, it's literally a glass made of ice.
It was wonderful.
And then they pour whatever your beverage is into that glass and it stays cold. And obviously, to keep the whole ice bar from melting, they have to keep the temperature super low. So you really have to, you know, wear a parka or something, the whole, or at least I did, the whole time we were there. But anyway, a couple of us were overserved during that visit.
No.
And as we left the ice bar, we got the moon. And, so, and the stars and the rainbow and everything else. So anyway.
The wind moon.
Yes, exactly. So I do still have that on video. It was so funny. It was hysterical. And none of us will ever forget. It was literally one of the best trips we've ever had.
Just there to make you laugh.
No, you were. You definitely, like
it
I said,
fun.
Were the life of the party. It's not a party
I'm
until Reagan
Fritz,
gets there.
I'm surprised Fritz didn't get to us before I did.
True story. But that was fun. So, okay. I'm glad
fun,
you have fond memories of the ice bar. Okay. You know, it is all about you, Reagan. Motorcycles. I just, the
I'm
hits
sorry,
just
I'm gonna
keep
have
on
to
coming.
Feral that one.
I gotta say, feral too.
Okay.
Don't get Reagan on a motorcycle.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I feel the same way. And not even just about you on a motorcycle. I feel the same way about Dave on a motorcycle. As soon as, after Dave and I met, he had a Harley, and I'm like, nope. If we're gonna be together, Harley's gotta go.
They're
and
dangerous.
So it's like me or a Harley, and he's like, oh, I don't know. He had to think about it for a while because he wasn't quite sure. But obviously, he
I
got
wanted
rid of Harley.
I wanted to be able to do it. I just couldn't do it.
Yep. But
I think
dangerous.
The best story is him riding the motorcycle on our street. And as he says, he was only going 35, but he was really only going 5.
No.
He said, I was rounding the cul-de-sac and I was going 5 miles an
Maybe
hour,
he was
35
going
miles an hour. And I
he
said,
was going
you were
too
going
slow.
5 miles an hour.
He was going too slow, though. Isn't that what
I
caused it to?
Yeah. I went 5:10.
I think you went 5:20, maybe, as you went down. So
I
know that was a couple of ouchies, right?
A couple of
owies and ouchies. So, okay. Matcha tea. Yeah. I'm curious because now I feel like everywhere I go, every sign in every restaurant is matcha. We have matcha. We have all these different colored matchas and we have matcha with a cream topping. And I mean, everything's matcha these
days. That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Me too.
So fabulous. Okay.
Yeah.
I hate matcha tea. I'm just the idea of matcha tea makes me sick. Like, I just literally dislike matcha.
Not a fan
matcha
of
tea.
Matcha, but.
What is it?
Matcha, it's a green, nasty, powdery tea that has just this awful.
But like, when you added that topping, it didn't
sound
so bad.
Well, that's true. I mean, they do make it sound enticing. I just know what matcha tastes like. Yeah. And it's like, to me, you can't make it taste good. I just, blah, you
it's
know?
Like chewing on
spinach.
We're going
to have to leave here and go get some matcha.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to go far because it's pretty much anywhere you walk in. I mean, literally, I go to a CVS and it's like, you want some matcha tea?
Chai tea, I'd like that.
No, I do too. I do like Thai tea. Yeah.
Chai tea is great.
Matcha tea, I don't know.
It's, and what's her favorite after dinner?
Oh, Carajillo.
Carajillo's,
yes, exactly.
Now that's fabulous.
We've had a few. We've been overserved on a couple of Carajillo's too, haven't we?
Yeah.
Those are the good old days. So right. Yeah, no, I love me a Carajillo. So, okay, next one, forensic files.
Mm.
What do you think?
I'd have to say fabulous.
Okay, so we have both fabulous. Okay.
Yep.
So you like a episode or two of Forensic Files?
Yeah.
I do as well. Yeah. I love Forensic Files. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can watch them. You know, Dave always gets a little nervous when I watch a bunch of episodes. He always thinks I'm trying to, you know, cover up the evidence in case I decide to do something or I need to figure it out. But I do like some
making
forensic
a plan.
Files. Yeah, exactly. I'm plotting and planning. Mad scientists.
We always learn something on those.
Exactly.
Or
exactly.
We think we do.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. You can just clock it for later, you know. Okay, last one. Sandcastle Festival.
Love it. Fabulous.
Yes. So tell me, you guys have been.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And what's your favorite thing about the Sandcastle Festival? Just say that three times.
Creativity.
The castles themselves. Yeah.
I mean, it's just what people can
freaking amazing
come up with.
What they can
I know.
Do. It's just the talent.
The talent.
It looks
the
real.
Talent. I know. Yeah. It's incredible.
The detail. You know, the markings. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
It's a lot of fun.
And you guys, I know, love the beach just like Dave and I do. And so to me, I have not been to the Sandcastle Festival, but I haven't. Not in person, but I've seen I've seen videos and I've seen lots of, you know, displays and stuff like that came from the Sandcastle Festival. But I'm always just in awe because literally the first time I didn't even know it was a thing. And the first time I actually saw pictures from it, I didn't know it was real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And with AI.
It doesn't look like it.
Well, with AI, and it hasn't been that long that I've been familiar with it, but with AI, so many things that I look at, I have to question myself going, is this real or is it AI?
Yeah.
But it's so good.
It's all real.
Their talent is so good that you don't know if it's really real or if it, you know,
not
it's
in a
live
video,
or Memorex.
Sure.
Yeah. No, right. Exactly. It's like, oh my gosh, it looks
they
like
spend
it's
hours and hours.
How does that work?
To the detail.
How many days do they have to get there finished?
I don't know.
Because they
really,
obviously,
no, I don't think I know.
Do they start with a pile of sand and
exactly,
and then they mold it into whatever?
They mold it, and they have some.
But
like,
you don't know what the timeline is.
They have a spray that keeps it together. Yeah,
but I don't know all the
details. You just have seen the finished product,
right? Yeah.
And do you get to walk by the display?
Mm-hmm, sure.
And,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay,
can't touch it, but.
Right. But like they allow you to like get like do they have like a little walkway where you can walk by the displays?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I've seen videos, but you can't really tell necessarily in the videos exactly how it's laid out, but it looks so cool.
But no, you can get right up close to them. Yeah.
Oh, you can.
Yeah, it's fun. And they have vendors that have things for sale.
Oh, cool. Oh, they do. I didn't know that. So okay, cool.
It's cool.
Cool. Yeah. I didn't remember all the details.
And food.
Awesome.
And drinks.
Oh. Hey, well, okay. I'm there.
I was going to say, not alcohol.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you're at the beach.
We'll have to plan it.
Yes,
we'll have to plan it. You know, we'll have to definitely, you know, see if we can go down and see the stars and moon. And
there you go.
Make another group trip. So that'll be the plan. So
that'll be fun.
Thank you guys so much
for being on
Feral or Fabulous. I'm looking forward to having you back as a friend of the podcast. So
thank
we
you
will
so
see
much.
You next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.